Welcome to the Birth Lounge Podcast, an empowering space for expecting and new parents to hear candid conversations with experts, support your mental health, and learn the tips and tricks that thousands of parents have used to craft their ideal birth. We will answer all of your questions, the scary ones and the weird ones, to help calm your fears and feel confident going into your birth. I'm going to help you redefine what birth and motherhood looks like and how to embrace your journey. I've intentionally crafted an amazing list of experts to help you navigate pregnancy, explore your birth options, and plan for postpartum so it can be a time of soaking in your tiny human. We're going to go there on all the hard topics so that you can dive into finding your confidence and freeing yourself from fears around childbirth. With almost 10 years of experience in family education and a master's degree in human development and family studies, I created this podcast as a way to share information so parents can make educated and informed decisions about their care during pregnancy and childbirth. This is a birth community driven by evidence-based information and research in hopes to help you explore your options, understand your rights, and know what choices you have along the way. I'm your host, Hehe. Now let's get to the good stuff. Are you looking for a non-judgmental way to prepare for childbirth, something that's evidence-based and is going to teach you all of your options, talk about your pros and your cons and the risks and the benefits transparently so that you can truly feel informed? Well, I want to tell you about the Birth Lounge. It truly has no agenda other than helping you feel informed, understand your options, and stay in control during labor. It is all data-driven content by reliable research because I know that it's hard to understand your options and what you can and can't say no to in the hospital. I know that hospital policy is really confusing and it changes from hospital to hospital, so understanding your options in each scenario is going to be key to you having a birth that you love and avoiding birth trauma. I want to give you back control, and I'm going to do that in the Birth Lounge. I'm going to teach you all of your options so that you can truly remain in the driver's seat. You can be the decision maker. You can feel confident making your decisions because you know the data and the science. You know what the research says, and you know what the safe options are for you and your baby. Check out thebirthlounge.com to join today. Hey, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the Birth Lounge Podcast. Today, we're diving into postpartum wellness. How is today's postpartum different than what our parents had experienced? And when we find ourselves in these places of high intensity during postpartum, what tools do we have? How are we going to navigate these things? Who should we have in our corner, you know, in our messaging, in our phones to help us in these times of high intensity or the times where you're like, oh shit, what have I done? Because if you haven't had a baby yet, those times will pop up. If you've already had a baby, you're like, oh boy, do they. Here's the thing. They're normal. You're going to have these periods of thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to manage this or get out of this. I don't know what I've done. And you're going to make it, right? You're going to push through. You're going to power through. And my guest and I today are going to give you some tools to make that easier. So I'm so excited to have on Miranda Bauer, who is the author of Reclaiming Postpartum Wellness. She's a postpartum doula, past childbirth educator. She's been a birth doula. She's the founder and creator of Postpartum University. You guys, she is a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so excited to be able to pick her brain and let you hear the conversation. So Miranda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you. And I think this is a conversation that is missing for a lot of people. I also have to say that I think it hits a little bit harder, this postpartum conversation, for people in Massachusetts right now with the recent news of the Duxbury mom who had some really severe postpartum complications. And I think there's a lot of things swirling on the internet right now, but mostly fear from people who don't want that to happen to them, and or people looking back now realizing, like, wow, I personally had
a lot of really big emotions postpartum, and I didn't even know it, or the people around me never picked up on it, or I didn't know how to tell the people in my life. And so I want us to start right there. I want us to start in the conversation of that modern day village. Like, where is it? Our parents had much more of a village. And if we back up even further than that, the village just grows the further back in history we go. But today's modern village is basically you and your partner and a nanny in most cases.
Yeah, it's really challenging to find the support systems that we truly need physically, emotionally, mentally. That just isn't something that exists right now. And when we look back through the generations, right, what we see is that that support system did exist, but we've got to go back a couple of generations. I know that my parents never had that support. And my grandparents didn't really have that support system either. But when we start looking at great grandparents, we start seeing that they were the ones who had the support, this village mentality, where the midwife and the doulas, right? These people in our communities that maybe they didn't even have, a name, so to speak, that we do today, but they would just show up and they would hold your baby if you needed to. They offer you breastfeeding support. They'd hold your boob, right? They'd make you a meal. They'd be cooking in the kitchen and doing the laundry, and you would have a multitude of people coming quietly into your home to take care of you and your family, to take your kid to the park, your 3-year-old, and to just show up and be in your space. And they knew right away, they knew how to support you. They knew how to take care of you. And that was very much the village. But also at this time, this is a time when women would go to each other's homes and clean together. They would go shopping together, right? They would go to the markets together. There was more a community aspect, a more community feel to what we were experiencing or what they were experiencing at the time. And then now enter in the Great Depression. And then we've got war, and we've got all of these really conflicting, difficult things. We got the industrialization of our nation, where it's really put us into these individual homes where we're not multi-generational family systems anymore. We've got military life has expanded astronomically, and we're, pulled away from our family environment and our homes. We're traveling more. We just have more technology to support those things, and a lifestyle that does as well. And so what we often find during this period of time and pregnancy and postpartum is that we're kind of alone. And we don't have the support systems in place. And through the generations, we've lost touch with what it means to care for a postpartum mom and a postpartum family. And so, I was just sharing recently about how even if those support people are there, they don't necessarily know anymore how to support you in a way in which you truly need. So much so that we don't even know, right? Like, we're literally entering postpartum without a single idea of how it's going to change us. Like, we hear all the time, oh, it's going to change your life. It's going to be so amazing. Expect not to sleep. Like, we have those like little sayings, but we don't actually know what it means because we've never experienced it. We've never witnessed it from anybody else, right? Like that postpartum secret club, you're not invited. Nobody shows you what it's like until you're already in the throes. And then you're like, ah, okay, I get it, but I have no idea how to help myself in this process. I have no idea how to heal my body. Nobody's telling you how to heal your body, right? We're just talking about the best strollers, and we're talking about the best breast pump, and we're talking about you got to get that Hakka, right? Like, those are the things that we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else. We're not talking about the bleeding, how to help it stop. We're not talking about healing faster. We're not talking about getting the best sleep in a way that is supportive of your family's needs, right? And your baby's development. We're not talking about any of those components or the emotional support. Oh my word. Like, that's not existent. You don't have, emotional needs. You're supposed to get back to work. You're supposed to do the thing. And yeah, you have a baby, but who cares, right? Just get back to normal, get back to your pre-body weight and, you know, all of the things, like just pretend it never happened and move on.
And if your partner
That's our society.
Paternity leave or parental leave, then you may take full responsibility of all tasks in a matter of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
It's insane what we are expecting of our mothers and our families. And mm-hmm. we truly have forgotten what it means to care for a mother and the significance behind it. I mean, you got to think here at our country, the health of a country is determined by the mortality rate of mothers.
Our country is not well then.
It's not. We are like in the 30s to 40s ranked, like we're below, meaning that there are 30 plus countries in a better position than we are for the health and care of the mothers. Wow. And so we already know, our world literally knows that the health of a mother determines the health of our community, of our nations. Yet we don't do a dang thing about it.
Wow, that's really sad. And it is just so mind-blowing to me that we have such, I don't know, lack of care, lack of respect, and just like overall dismissal of motherhood, when if we would just focus on helping that mom-baby dynamic grow and flourish and be supportive, so many things in our society would probably be able to right itself, because like all the wrongdoings would right itself because we had so much of a better foundation. We had those healthy foundations. How much of our mental health in our country is caused by, you know, I don't want to say bad bonding, but a rough postpartum, and then a mother and a baby doesn't get to bond, and then there's not that emotional tie, and that leads to mental health for both of them. I would imagine that if we looked at that, if we had the ability to break down that, you know, kind of chain of events, we would find that story more often than not.
Yeah. And I talk about this so often in my book, Reclaiming Postpartum Wellness, where we are living in a world that doesn't support us. Mm. And therefore, those lack of support systems on our body, when we start talking about what does our body truly need, right? Sleep, nutrition, nervous system support, those things, when our basic foundational needs are not being met, then we create a recipe for depression, anxiety, perinatal mental health concerns, and autoimmune disorders. Nobody's talking about that in postpartum, but you're at a 30% increased risk of developing one in the first year after having a baby. Why? Because your foundational needs are not being met. And it's so interesting to me when I'm talking to women in general about their health and the way they're feeling and their well-being. So many of us come into this new space of taking care of ourselves or recognizing the significance of it after having a baby, because we come so close to disease and dysfunction and disparities and inequalities. And all of those components, like they come together in like this giant ball, and it's like thrown into your lap when you have a baby, right? And you're just expected to deal with all of it. And navigating that during this time is almost impossible without the right support systems.
Yeah, it can feel overwhelming. It can feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It can feel helpless. It can feel hopeless. And then we wonder, is there something wrong with me? No, any human would feel helpless and hopeless if this is what they were handed and they didn't have the right support, right? And then that can very easily be internalized where, you know, you start having negative self-talk, and you talk about this in your book, you know, I'm not a good mom. I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. My baby needs more. My baby needs better. They don't. You're everything that your baby needs. You need more. You need better. And it's so unfortunate that our country just doesn't have the proper supports in place to be able to do that.
Yeah, I always tell women, you are not the failure.
Yeah.
The system is the failure. The system failed you. And the hardest part about this is that now that you know that the system is not going to be there to support you, and that you literally are going to be given absolutely nothing unless you demand it,
mm-hmm.
unless you stand up and say, no, I deserve better. And then you actually take actions to make that happen. Only you are going to be the one able to do that. And that's really unfortunate right now, because what you need is somebody else to do that for you. And so we're kind of taking back our power. We're taking back our autonomy. We are learning what it means to care for ourselves. And we have to do this not just for ourselves, but for the generations that come after, right? This is taking back our power and our autonomy for our children and our children's children, because over the generations, it's been forgotten. And unfortunately, like, I'm speaking in a space where I have four children. I had extreme postpartum depression and anxiety. And I know exactly what it means to be lying in bed, completely unable to get out, and not knowing what I'm going to do, and let alone how am I going to get out of this bed, right? Not, like, literally not knowing how I'm going to get out of the bed. I have moments in my life where my husband has taken me, physically carried me out of bed. Okay. I'm saying I get the struggle of understanding that in that position, when you need somebody to carry you, and the chances of somebody being there to carry you are slim, and you're going to have to do it yourself. That is literally the hardest thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
I get it, but it has to be done. And that's the part where you're going to come in, and you're going to have to be the one. Hire a doula, right? If you can find somebody you can connect with and that can be there to offer you emotional support, right? I don't care if it's a friend online that you've never met, right? That's the beauty. One of the beautiful things about being in the online space, no matter if you're able to afford that hiring help or not, there is someone there. We just might have to be really creative in how we find it, but we have to do it.
And you're worth it.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. And then when you get to the other side, because I guarantee you, you will always get to the other side.
There is
always an other side. Yes. And then you're going to be so enlightened and so understanding. You're going to be like, I get it. And because you get it, now you're in a position to be there to support your friends. I specifically remember after the birth of my first being like, oh, I now know how to show up, right? Like, I cannot believe I went to that person's house and held their baby for 30 minutes and I did nothing. Like, I'm going to call them and I'm going to apologize, even though it was like 5 years ago, but I get it, right? Like, now you get it. And now we can do something about it. Now we can start being the community that we need. But again, it has to start with you.
Yeah. And you're worth it. So don't forget that. Okay. I want to talk about my favorite part of your book, because I just want to. It is the personal stories and how you brought in what other cultures do in postpartum. So this is one of the things I try and do in the Birth Lounge. The Birth Lounge has a postpartum component, but it's just one module. There are six modules focused on birth. And so in our preparation for preparing for your hospital birth in America, I'm teaching you what other countries do so that you have the spectrum of what's safe and what options you have in regards to this decision. I loved learning what other countries do simultaneously it made me really sad that other countries innately have this wonderful, amazing support based in like the highest regard, super mega like respect for motherhood and pregnancy and postpartum and birth and the work, emotional, physical, all of it that is involved in that. And then you get to America and we're like, oh yeah, we'll see you at 6 weeks. Bye now. What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. When we look at other cultures around the world, like they really have these principles.
Yeah.
They have these, you know, thing, they have these tasks at hand, right? Like they know, oh, she's pregnant. Perfect. I know exactly what we're doing, right? Like, and oh, she's postpartum. Yep. I know exactly how I'm going to show up in her space and the herbs that we're going to use and the meals that we're going to cook, right? They have a strategy for getting the mother to the most healthiest space. When we look at the statistics of postpartum depression and anxiety in different countries, we're going to be mind blown about what we see. There are, for example, in Malaysia, the statistic for depression and anxiety is 3%.
Wow.
And you have to take into consideration, there's some cultures in our world that do, it's a disservice. We look at mental health as a taboo kind of conversation, right? And so when we look at rates of, say, like Japan, they're only 10%, but we know statistically that's much higher. It's just very underreported because it's a taboo conversation. It's not, you cannot have that. You're going to be a disservice to your family, right? You're going to, there's so many instances where that's just not acceptable. And the way we treat people who have mental health disorders or anything that resembles such a thing is significant, right? I just did a training on perinatal mental health, and I'm sidetracking here, and the history of women's health, especially related to mental health. I mean, we were doing forced lobotomies in the 60s, insane asylums were in the 60s. So just be, if you are a woman, if you are a Black woman, oh my gosh, if you shown any sign of having a mental health issue, you were subjected to that kind of healthcare quotes, yeah. Right? So no wonder we don't speak about it. No wonder we're afraid, because the last 30 years of advocacy and understanding and awareness does not erase thousands of years of mistreatment. Okay. So with that said, we look at the rates of Malaysia and we say, okay, 3%. Okay. Is this a country who feels comfortable and wants to support women in postpartum, or how do they view mental health? And what we know is that they are on top of it, like nobody's business. They screen for it. They look for it. They are supportive for it. They make sure as a government that there are systems set up in place to support the individual needs of every mother. So you have a nurse that comes to you after you are home with your baby in those first several weeks. You have somebody who's coming in to check on you to make sure breastfeeding is going well. The government sends you a care package, so you have everything you need. You don't need to go purchase anything. The providers in your area, or the mothers, the people who are coming to you, they have recipes, they have herbs, right? They have an entire herbal collection of what they're going to use, depending on what it is that you've got, because they're trained in it, right? And so literally there is a system to support your individual needs that come from the government top down. I mean, even pelvic floor physical therapy is covered. Like you have free pelvic floor physical therapy. I mean, like they go the gamut. They do everything to support you as a mother, recognizing the significance that you have and the power you have and the importance of raising solid families that are healthy, right? Because when we are healthy, I will tell you, we are healthy and we feel well in our bodies. Women can freaking rule the world. I'm telling you, right? So many of us are not giving are not operating at our fullest extent. We're operating at 50, maybe 60, maybe even less, right? I remember the time when I was operating at 10%, right? We're sick. We're not well. And when we're not sick, or when we're sick and we're not well, we don't function well, and our community suffers because of it. And so what we need is more healthy families, so that we can have better community situations, so that we can advocate for others and their needs, so that we can change the postpartum paradigm and the way we speak to mothers and the way we care for mothers and the way, you know, we support them going back to work, or maybe they don't need to go back to work because we take such good care of them, right? Just to be in a space where you are so well that you can advocate for others, that you can change policy, that you can get into, like, this is what we need. You got to be well. You got to be well. And that is the entire purpose of Reclaiming Postpartum Wellness, is to teach you how to be well again. What is it that your body needs at a foundational level? And how the, like, literal step-by-steps of, mm-hmm, here's how you're going to heal your body.
And you do it. You nailed that in your book. I thought the book was so well written. I thought that it was such an easily consumed book too. It didn't feel too much. So sometimes too much information can feel like overwhelming. It can feel scary. It can feel like, all right, this is too much. I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to do it later. But you're never going to do it later. I loved your book. One of my favorite parts, and I want to end here because I think this is often overlooked, and it's another place that once you get in it, it's a little too late to kind of realize you're there, right? We really ideally need to be navigating this before your baby gets here, and that is stored trauma in your body and how this impacts your nervous system, and then how that consequently impacts postpartum.
This is a huge conversation, and really, like, we can go on for hours having this conversation. But one of the things that I see most frequently is that our nervous systems are completely dysregulated, especially going into pregnancy, let alone postpartum. And a good part of this is that we have traumas, right? We grow up with traumas. If you are living in a place of not having enough, whether it's food or financial, right? I grew up in that space. My nervous system is forever impacted by those experiences of not having enough. They even show that racial disparities, if you're constantly experiencing racist remarks or a privileged kind of behaviors surrounding you, your nervous system is always going to be in a heightened state of awareness, right? And then we look at women, 1 in 4 women in our country will be sexually assaulted by the time they're 18, right? We can look at all of the different components of trauma and how that becomes a part of who we are. Like, literally, it changes our nervous system so that we are more likely to see difficult scenarios come up, right? So if I walk into a room and my nervous system is on high alert because of the traumas that I've experienced, right? It's there so that I can be able to sense the different trauma in the space, right? Am I safe? Am I safe? That's the question, right? Am I safe? And so by operating in that space, you're trying to create a protective mechanism for yourself. I hear so frequently, women are feeling as if they are so in tune with a space or with a person that they are able to know it before anything ever happens. And oftentimes that's a signal, not that we have some sort of special power, but that we are operating in a place of nervous system, like it's really high functioning, right? And that can do you a huge disservice when you go into the postpartum period, because naturally, biologically, your nervous system shifts, your digestion shifts, right? The way we eat changes, everything and changes, your brain changes. Your nervous system is there to alert you in case of danger so that you are able to carry the next generation safely. And so when you have a nervous system that's operating in a state of trauma, and then you put postpartum on that, and your body is saying, okay, well, I have to be more able to see the challenges or the unsafe scenarios, right? Now you're in a recipe for disaster, because now every time you walk into a room, right, and you see the balcony, or you see the stairs, or you think about getting in your car with your baby, right? All of these negative thoughts come flooding in, right? We call them intrusive thoughts. This is often how it begins and how we first recognize it. Over 80% of women in the postpartum period will have intrusive thoughts. And these thoughts are simply your nervous system on overdrive warning you that something in the area might not be safe for your baby. They're completely normal, but because your nervous system is not properly functioning, because it's operating way on overdrive, we're experiencing it more frequently. And then when we have those disturbing thoughts, right, what's the first thing that happens? Oh my gosh, why am I thinking that? That is really awful. I can't believe that happened, right? And then all of a sudden you start panicking yourself, and then that nervous system just shoots up even more, right? And then you become afraid of those thoughts, and then you fear those thoughts, right? And so it's a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. And one of the key components to this, no matter who you are, you need nervous system regulation. You need to do that for your body, for your baby, because your nervous system is actually supporting your baby's nervous system. And so they're co-regulating with you. There's so many different components, but what we know for this short period of this episode here is that it's a really big deal, and you have to learn how to heal your body and to remove those unwanted traumas, the things that are no longer serving you, because trauma in our body that served us at one point in time, it was an experience, and not that the experience served us, but the heightened emotional state, the heightened nervous system state served us. It kept us protected and able to sense danger. But during this time, it is not there for you. It is acting against you. And so we want to remove those traumas. This is also another reason, really quickly, why so many of us in the postpartum period will remember or start having flashbacks of previous traumas that we've experienced in our life. It's like birth and postpartum are like, we are wide open. We are available to all the healing things. And I love to say this, like most countries around the world believe that we have this ability to see all of the trauma, to have this heightened nervous system reaction, so that we can learn to heal it. So we can heal everything that has been unhealed, so that we can therefore be that solid foundation for our children. So we can end that, because you literally pass down trauma to your children on a cellular level, right? But when you heal yourself, you heal your children. So many things that we could talk about. I give you strategies in the book. Go there. I think we are out of time.
I love this conversation. I am down for the woo-woo side of things any day. Truly though, you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, this is what the cover looks like. If you're listening, it's a blue cover and it says Reclaiming Postpartum Wellness, Miranda Bauer on the bottom. You guys, this book is fantastic. And if this is your first baby, even if it's not your first baby, you're going to learn something. But if this is your first baby, this is an easy guide to postpartum. That's the thing. Everybody wants that easy button, but it doesn't feel like it exists, but it does here. This book will tell you what you need to know, what you should be preparing for, the things you need to have on hand, the people you should have in your corner. What should you be thinking about and planning now before your baby gets here? Miranda, where can people find your book? And then in addition to that, how can they connect to you, especially if they want to be part of Postpartum University?
So going to my website, postpartum you, that's the letter u.com. You can find all the information on where to find the book. We are on Amazon, where to find us on Facebook. We have a group, and then we have an entire membership portal. So you get all of the juicy goodness of how to remove your traumas in your body, like literally getting trauma out of your body. How do you do that? I give you tons of practices, how to get better sleep, nutrient dense meals. How do you make them? What's that look like? Like so many trainings. We even have trainings for professionals and you can listen in. Like literally I'm giving you an insider scoop of what we train professionals in, but like gallbladder care, because the number one surgery after having a baby is gallbladder removal. It's insane, right? So like if you're going through something, we have it for you in the membership portal. You can connect in with other professionals. You can learn all of the juicy tidbits and things that you need to do to heal your body and become that solid foundation for your baby and your family.
I am so sad that this episode is over, and I feel like we got so deep, but also we barely scratched the surface. So you guys definitely grab this book, check out Postpartum University. And if you are in postpartum and you're needing support, head over to Miranda's Stop. She can get you connected to people who can get you that support. No matter what that support looks like, you've got people in your life that are happy to help you. We're waiting to step up. You don't have to do this alone, but you can do this. I promise you, you're strong and you're going to make it through. All right, Miranda, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. And for everyone listening and watching, I'll see you in the next episode. Bye. Hey, y'all. If you guys are looking for one-to-one breastfeeding or formula feeding or bottle feeding support, and you want to work with our team, I'll drop a link below so that you can get signed up with that. We truly do come to you with open arms about finding out what goals are best for your family and your baby, and then helping you create action plans to get there. Something that is sustainable and easily fits into your lifestyle. Remember, you always have options. So if you are feeling lost when it comes to feeding your baby, or you feel like you don't have the proper support, reach out to us so my team can get you some help. We want to help you reach your goals where you get to really enjoy being a parent. It's no fun to always be stressed out, and feeding your humans is nothing that's going away anytime soon. So I want you to get really good at it. I want you to be comfortable with it, and I want you to feel like you are making the right choices for you and your baby. I will drop a link for that below. See you later. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I truly do value this community and I love hanging out with you. If you found today's episode helpful, share it with a friend. Share it with someone who might also find this information helpful. I'd love to hear what you have to say and read your sweet words on iTunes. You can leave us a review, and this helps get this information into the hands of parents who might also benefit from hearing it. If you're interested in joining the Birth Lounge, you can go to thebirthlounge.com. Our blog is linked there. You can find all sorts of free information as well as how to get your access to the Birth Lounge. You can always hang out with me on Instagram as well, at Tranquility by Hehe. Until then, stay educated, stay supported, stay confident.